There. They do have some Bibles. Let's go over to Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Glory to God. All right. He said, starting at verse 15, "Now you Philippians know that also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Notice what he said, first of all. No church communicated with me as concerning what? Giving and receiving. All right, in your Bible, I ask you to put one time. Depositing and withdrawing. Depositing and withdrawing. Now, I used to say this all the time. I don't say it that much anymore, but I believe it's still true. That the kingdom of God is big business. It's big business. And I say that thinking about Jesus when he was 12 years old and he was found in a synagogue confounding the religious leaders with his wisdom. And his parents went about a day's journey, I guess, and realized he wasn't with them. And so they had to go back to where they left him, and there he was. Found him in the temple. Preaching to the preachers, 12 years old. And here's what he said. "Don't you know I must be about my father's business?" Interesting how he calls it business. And I think a lot of the principles of the business world have been taken from the Bible. A lot of them. Now, they took the blood out, the name out, the Holy Ghost out, you know, all of that. But these principles don't change. And the devil uses them because he knows they work. So this whole idea of giving and receiving or depositing and withdrawing, I'm going to add another one here. Investing and receiving your yield or your return. So you can invest in the kingdom and receive a return. Basically, that makes up heaven's economy. But that's what he said. No church does this except you. A Philippian church, I heard, started out very poor, but they ended up a fairly wealthy church. And he goes on down and says, verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account." I'm headed to Africa. I asked people who could to give and share if they have, God puts it on their heart to share in the expenses for that trip. Now, we've done well, by the way. But we got just a little bit to go. And I'm believing we're going to get that closed today with all three services. It's interesting, as I go and I preach to the lost, preach to people who have been held in bondage, have been in church, but they've never grown, never done anything. The forces have just been against them. Preach to set the captives free, lay hands on the sick, speak to sickness, sick recover. All of that is what God does through me. And as you are helping me to do that, then the fruit that we get are going to abound to your account. Now, it's one thing to sow a seed and get increase here in this earth. But in heaven, you get something called reward. And that's when the Bible says we all stand before the judgment seat of God or before Christ, and we get rewarded for things that we've done. And so everything that we've done that's been, of course, according to faith and the will of God, those things are recorded. And apparently what we're going to get has something to do with that. And the tendency is people sometimes to give short-term thinking to the things of life. In other words, even if they invest in something, a business, they want a return tomorrow. And sometimes it's a long-term investment, especially in the blue chip stocks. It's a longer-term investment. People just don't jump out and jump in. But they invest, and when they do invest, something comes back. Now he goes on down and says in verse 18, but I have all and abound, am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In other words, you gave out of your necessity. In other words, you gave out of your need. And because you did that, it was a sweet smell to God. And then he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I began to look at the times that he supplied all their need. And when he says all, he means all. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, here's a woman and her husband. They were fairly well off. And the man of God, when he came to town to preach, what they would do is they'd let him have a room and let him lay down there and rest and sleep. But then they said, let's build a prophet's quarters. Let's put him up a room and put him up a bed and so forth and so on. And the Bible says they did that. And when he laid down in that particular bed, that time, he told his servant, go ask the woman, what shall I do for her? What does she want God to do for her? And she said, oh, I don't need him to do anything for me. We're well off and so forth. And then the man of God's servant came back and says, she has no child. And her husband is old. Now, when the Bible says you old, you are old. And I have a sneaky suspicion he was past age of childbearing. But the prophet spoke, because gifts will always provoke the prophet. And he said this. He said, about this same time next year, you'll have a child. And it was such good news to her. She said, oh, don't say that, please, don't say. He said, no, that's what will happen. And that time next year, she had a child. She had somebody to pass on all that money to, because she didn't have any legacy in terms of people. So what happened here? He met all her needs. Also, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and that's when a man named Solomon was taking over from his father David. But he didn't know how he was going to run that huge kingdom. And he sold 1,000 bullocks and offered them up to God. And what happened? God came into him in a dream that night. Say dream. God can come to you in a dream. And God said to him, because you've done this thing, he said, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And God said, because you've not asked for silver and gold and so forth, I'm going to give you wisdom, but gold is going to come with it. As you know, it's one of the richest people in the Old Testament. How about in Luke chapter 5? There's a man named Peter. He's fished all night, caught nothing. Jesus said, can I use your boat? Let me put it in business terms. Would you like to buy some shares in this business? Would you like to invest in this business for just a little bit? And Peter said, yes. And what happened? Jesus got in his boat and began to preach, sat down and taught. And after he finished, he said, now launch out into the deep and get your yield off of your investment. He launched out and pulled in so much that a net broke, and you know the story. I'm telling you right now that as you invest in this, whatever we're doing here in this church, this is good ground. This is big business. Put up there, please. Would you put up the tape for Nigeria, please? Thank you.